God, save me by your name. Oh, and vindicate me by your might. Have risen against me, ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness put an end to them. With free will offering I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies.
chapter of the book of Joshua. Now Jericho was shut up inside and out because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every one straight before him." So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord." And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, with the ark of the covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark, while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout." And so he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets blew continually. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did for 6 days. On the 7th day, they rose early at the dawn of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, with the edge of the sword. But to the 2 men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her." So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. And a reading from St. Luke, the 19th chapter. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small of stature. And so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my Dear friends in Christ, during this season of Lent, we have undertaken a penitential reflection on the work of God's destruction for our salvation. We have centered our reflection upon the wages of sin, which is both temporal and eternal death, and upon the free gift of God, which is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have meditated upon what it is that God's work of destruction has saved us from, namely sin, death, and the devil's power, and how that has manifested in the wickedness of the world and in the ungodliness of cities, both past and also present. Our meditation has this central thrust of thought, that for us to be saved from the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, God's will must be done. That is, he must break and hinder every evil plan of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, and so he must destroy that which opposes our salvation for us to be saved by him. In previous weeks, we have given thought to how the Lord our God destroys the wicked world and how he destroys the ungodly city, both being in opposition to the will of the Lord and to the salvation of us who were lost and condemned persons before we were redeemed by God the Son, our salvation having been purchased and won by his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. This week, we consider how the outgrowth of sin, which infiltrated mankind through the first man and woman's act of rebellion and corrupted the entire world in wickedness, eventually became concentrated in the cities of ungodliness and has since taken up residence in the hearts of those who remain in their wicked, ungodly unbelief toward the word of their Creator, who deigns also to be their redeemer and sanctifier. This week, we consider how God deals with the fortified resistance and residence of evil within the human heart by destroying the sinner's fortress. The example provided for our consideration is taken from the account in the book of Joshua of the destruction of the ancient city of Jericho. The fortified city stood in bold defiance of the one true and living God, who had brought his people up out of the land of Egypt, out of their captivity and bondage, now bringing them into the land he had promised as an inheritance to the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jericho was a fortified city. Its walls were prominent enough to have houses built into them, as one was reported to have been, which served as the dwelling of a harlot named Rahab. A prostitute by occupation, her source of income testified to the wicked, ungodly corruption that persisted in the hearts and dwellings of people in that time and place. Ancient Jericho was a Canaanite city in which, by all accounts given, there was no worship of the one true God who created the heavens and the earth, no worship by those who dwelled therein. It was a dwelling place of sinners whose hearts were hardened against the Lord God, a city whose walls could be shut up inside and outside to keep people from going out or from coming in. In a symbolic sense, the exterior walls of Jericho were akin also to the sinner's interior walls. Human hearts are conceived in such a way that sin is within them from their very conception. As the scriptures testify in the 51st Psalm, "In sin did my mother conceive me." The concupiscent heart comes to be in such a way that, apart from the word of the Lord and his redeeming and sanctifying work, walls of fortification are built within. As the devil, the world, and the sinful flesh have their way with the sinner. As sinful thoughts, words, and deeds are grown accustomed to and even relied upon for a sense of self-preservation and well-being, the one true God is utterly rejected, along with his wrathful punishment against sin. As the heart in its sin comes to be fortified against him and his word. As the blessed reformer Dr. Martin Luther once put it, the heart is hostile to all punishments inflicted because of sin. These punishments create an evil conscience and are painful to man's heart and utterly distasteful to the old Adam, the sinner. But if there were no punishments, what a fine thing a life of sin would be. Since then, unconverted people are hostile to the law and the wrath of God, they are hostile to God also. And they are so for the following irrefutable reason. Whoever does not approve of these punishments does not want God's righteousness, and on his own invents for himself a false God of mercy. Nowadays, men of the world are in the habit of doing this and really know how to do it well. For this reason, God will have nothing to do with them. So then, in the conscience there is a secret grudge, blasphemy, and grumbling against God, since the heart desires that there be no God and no punishment at all. The inhabitants of Jericho had heard of the mighty works of the Lord, who had dried up the water of the Red Sea before his people crossed over on dry ground, and how the Lord overcame the supposed might of two Amorite kings, Sihon and Og, who themselves were devoted by the Lord to destruction. So great was the might of the Lord in his wrath against sin, as reported to the inhabitants of Jericho, that as the harlot Rahab reported to the two spies sent by Joshua, the fear of the Israelites and the Lord their God had fallen upon them, causing all the inhabitants of the land to melt away, as their hearts melted in fear, and there was no spirit left within them, since the Lord, the God of Israel, is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Yet for all the might of the Lord, it did not create a welcoming in the hearts of those in Jericho. As the king there had shut the city up inside and outside, and had made no provision to welcome the coming of the faith in the Lord among his people, though they knew the God of Israel to be more powerful than the supposed gods of Egypt and those of the Amorites, there was no conversion within the fortified hearts of those sinful people of Jericho. And as Luther once wrote, it is necessary, if a sinner would be converted, that a sinner become terrified. That is, that a sinner would have an alarmed and trembling conscience. Then, after this condition has been created, a sinner must grasp the consolation that comes not from any work of their own, but from the work of God. Though there was an apparent sense of terror in the heart of Jericho, within the fortified hearts of sinful men, there was not a grasping of the consolation to be found within from that working of God among them. There was only threat and retaliation as the king of Jericho ordered the spies to be brought out, for though the wicked see the hand of God on them, they do not repent, seeking only how they may, by their fortified power and positions, resist his divine working. Rahab alone, out of a holy fear of the Lord and a heart unfortified against the word of the Lord which had reached her, did give shelter and aid to those spies, and was alone spared, along with her household, of the destruction that came upon that city. The working of faith is a mighty and awesome working of God. As the threat of wrath is brought upon the sinner, but the hope of salvation lingers still within it. Even as long ago, the Lord had promised salvation unto the first sinners in the garden. And down through their descendants, the promise lingered in the faithful hearts, kept in the hope that the promise would come to be fulfilled. The promise by God of salvation, the work of the Holy Spirit, is what creates and sustains such faith that does not leave fortifications against God within the heart. Noah and his family were left with unfortified hearts toward the Lord and believed the Lord when he told Noah to build an ark when the time came for destruction to come upon the wicked world. Lot believed the messengers of the Lord and did flee from the ungodly cities which were brought unto destruction, not turning back as his wife had done when instructed not to. Rahab, likewise, believed that the Lord was at work among the people of Israel and was giving that land to them, even as he had promised to unto Abraham and his descendants through Isaac and Jacob. She, as the writer to the Hebrews reports, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because by faith she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Woeful Jericho, which had the offering of the righteousness which comes by faith, had no welcome for the Lord or his people of promise. The fortress of the sinner's heart, with its hardened walls of unbelief and stubborn refusal to welcome the word of promise amid the very real threat of punishment and eternal destruction, is an obstacle to salvation, an opponent even, and a significant one. The unbelief that results from the inheritance of sin is not able to be overcome by sinners themselves, who only build higher, thicker walls in their heart by their own sinful inclinations. Rather, the mighty, awesome work of God by his powerful word must do that which cannot otherwise be done, destroying the sinner's fortress within them and without. Again, as Dr. Luther once wrote, "In you there is no doing and no beginning toward being converted and receiving faith in Christ which saves, just as increase and completion are not in your power. God alone begins, furthers, and completes the change. Whatever you begin is sin and remains sin, no matter how pretty it may appear to be. You can do nothing but sin, no matter what you do. Therefore, even as you must remain in sin no matter what you do, and everything you do alone of your free will is sin, you do not seek the coming of the kingdom of God. He seeks you. For you do not find him, he finds you. For the preaching of the gospel comes from him, not from you. And everything that works faith within you comes from him and not from you. You should therefore see clearly enough that if he does not come, you are left outside. And where there is no gospel, there is no God, but only sin and destruction, regardless of what the free will does, suffers, and performs, or how a sinner lives." Indeed, the walls of Jericho were not brought down by the working of man. as St. Augustine once wrote in The City of God, great marvels bore witness to the power of God. The walls of Jericho, a city that resisted the people of God, a city that worshipped many gods, as the pagans do, suddenly fell down flat when the ark had been carried around them 7 times. Although no human hand had struck a blow, nor battering ram shattered them. Indeed, it was the work of God bringing faith to life in his people, as he instructed them to march around the city bearing the ark for 7 days, encircling the city 7 times. And on the 7th day, after which the walls were brought down, and Rahab and her household was spared. Scripture tells that she became the wife of Solomon and the mother of Boaz, thus contributing through her own progeny the one who would come forth in descendants to be the redeemer of all sinners. Interestingly, when the sacrament of holy baptism is administered, 7 questions encircle the mind of the baptismal candidate as the ark of the Lord is prepared to be entered into for the salvation of the formerly lost and condemned person. Questions are asked concerning renouncement of the devil, of all his works, of all his ways. Further questions are asked as to whether the one to be baptized believes in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, not 3 gods, but 1 God, into whose presence the sinner is brought in order to be saved. Finally, baptismal candidates are asked if they desire to be baptized. St. Luke, the evangelist, recorded in the 19th chapter of the gospel bearing his name the account of a later inhabitant of the rebuilt Jericho who had a desire to see the one who had descended from her whose faith had saved her and rescued her from the destruction of that formerly sinful fortress of a city. Zacchaeus was his name. And he was brought into the presence of Jesus Christ, desiring to see him, but being so short as having to climb a sycamore tree, perhaps similar to the sycamore trees growing outside by the flagpole near the school building here at Lutheran Church of Our Savior, just to get a glimpse of him. He was a chief tax collector, and was no friend to those whom he had defrauded of money dishonestly. But being humbled in heart, undoubtedly by the word which had destroyed the fortification of his sin-hardened heart, warning him of God's wrath towards sin, and still calling him by the gospel concerning Jesus, did seek in his contrition and faith to behold the man whom the Baptist John had called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. For such willingness to climb a tree, that is, to even bear one's own cross and to follow where Jesus will be, must be the result of faith at work in a defeated fortress of sin. As Zacchaeus was led by faith to seek out Jesus, and even climbed where he could see him, faith will lead a penitent sinner to seek out a true Savior, and will be led to behold him as he was made to climb his own tree, the tree of the cross, upon which the Lord made an end to sinful fortifications against him, and took up residence where sinners were made to reside, the grave, destroying its power to hold us captive in its deathly fortifications. For the powerful guiding word of our Lord and Savior did not fail to overcome sin, death, and the devil's power, and will not flee from sinners, however fortified in sin their hearts may be. He is of the helpless, We poor, miserable sinners need his presence every passing hour. His grace to foil the tempter's fortifications and power. Though he comes to conquer and destroy our foes as the King of Kings, through the gospel he comes to us kind and good, with healing in his wings, tears for all woes, and a heart for every plea, a true friend for woeful sinners. With the Lord God Almighty at hand, no foe need be feared. No sin fortification nor grave shall be victorious. He holds the tree he once climbed before our eyes as they close in death's grip, shining through the gloom of defeated, destroyed opposition, pointing his beloved, redeemed people to the skies where heaven's eternal, victorious morning breaks, and the vain shadows of earth in all its dim joys and glories pass away. Through his powerful word of grace, mercy, and peace, he breaks down and destroys the fortress of our sin, so to abide in us and with us forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now rise to sing the Magnificat.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For freehold from this day all generations in remembrance of Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This evening, once again in our prayers, we recall our sister in Christ, Barbara Newman, as she mourns and as we mourn with her the recent death in Christ of her husband, Henry.
O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come to you. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord God, who by your grace has not left us in our sin, but has rescued us by the atoning work of your Son, and who opposes the proud, yet gives grace to the humble, grant that by your Holy Spirit all pride of self-sufficiency in us would be leveled, and that we would rely with eager hearts on our Savior, Jesus Christ, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you desire not the death of a sinner, but that all would repent and live. Hear our prayers for those outside the church. Take away their iniquity and turn them from their false gods to you, the living and true God. Gather them into your holy church to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, into whose keeping we entrust our loved ones, as Barbara, her family, and as we mourn the death in Christ of your servant Henry, help us to look to you in our time of sorrow, remembering the cloud of faithful witnesses with which we are surrounded. Grant that we may one day share in the joys of those who now rest in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.